Cormac McCarthy, pages 61 to 94. Community is the essential element of human existence. We talked about this in class. It is virtually impossible for an individual to live completely in isolation and not in some way, shape, or form be reliant on things either created by other people or established by other people, whether this be pre-made food, roads, paths. Traditionally, there is some interwoven connectiveness, if we're going to make up that word, that drives people to survive, that allows people to survive. And we know from a communal standpoint, the more people are able to work together, the higher the level of success is. And we see in the road that it's the exact opposite. Everyone is hiding from one another. And we get references throughout the book, particularly in these first 90 pages, where we know that there are eyes watching, but yet there's no attempt to band together. And the only time when we have seen people band together, it is to do greater harm to others. And that's an essential part of understanding this text, is that the evil far outweighs the good. And from everything we've seen and read so far, the natural inclination for people when it comes to survival, what we've seen in this aspect of what it means to survive, has been at the disposal of what we consider normal human behavior and the destruction of others. So as we look at the sense of community that is lacking, we see that the boy himself still values connection to others and not just his father. So when he thinks he sees another boy, he desperately wants to help this other boy. And it becomes a point of conflict between the father and the son, because the father knows he, number one, can't trust other people, and number two, they are not capable of helping anyone else because they are barely getting by. But the child himself has empathy. And you have to remember, in a world that he was born into, the world he was born into, empathy is not an element. Empathy is not present in this world. A lot of the things that we talk about, which makes our human society in the modern era feel comforting, feel complete, those attributes and those characteristics are not present. As it's mentioned in this text multiple times, this is a vanished world. And now that the things and the comforts and everything that we took for granted is gone, the boy represents, in many ways, could be what the world is headed towards, this bleak existence, but it's not that. And you can give credit to the father and even the mother for how he's been raised in these circumstances. But this consistent emphasis on being the good guys, doing things the right way, the son asking over and over again, are we the good guys? Are we still the good guys? The question asked after the father kills the man in the woods. It's this internal need to be good, to be on the right side, where the hope lies in the story. That in the face of everything, where we are seeing love consistently between the man and his son, also lies the hope that other people can connect at some point in time. And this is through the empathetic ways the boy consistently presents. So in a world with no empathy, the child's empathetic abilities and his root, his core, his center of self being focused on wanting to connect and be around others and help others, is essential to understand that maybe our human nature isn't as evil as Cormac McCarthy is presenting it in this text. In the world, this dystopian world we're seeing, human nature seems to be take, 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 kill or be killed. But the boy is showcasing that there is a different way that still exists, even in a world where complete doom is taking place. The father is tested, as is the boy, but the father more so, because in these scenes over and over again, they are starving, they are struggling, and the idea of what it means to be a father is consistently questioned. He needs to kill, he needs to protect, he needs to set good examples. He needs to be honest. He needs to present some hope. But he can't mislead his son. He cannot lie to his son beyond simple lies that get them from through day to day. But consider the situation the father's in. Parenting in a world where there is no structure, there are no rules beyond surviving, and every situation lends itself to the possibility of death, violent, destructive death, and or prior to death, extreme torture in such a inhumane way that death itself would be a welcomed change than going through such torture or being put in such a situation. So we need to think about this. The father is constantly plagued with the idea of, when have they reached their breaking point? When are they reaching a point of no return where death is the not only the option, it's the only option, it's the humane option? So that question asked earlier in the text, in our section from page 1 to 60, was when the father was talking to himself, could he do it? It's talking about whether or not he could kill his son, something that he loves, who he loves very much, someone who he seems to exist completely for, his own son's survival. So when we consider this concept, that every day the question is asked, is this the humane way to go? And as we see in this story, one thing that continues to build is that as the father gets more desperate, what is a normal level of risk continues to change and evolve. What might have been way too risky at the beginning of the book is already thrown out the window, and they're willing to take more risks. And we have to ask ourselves, what is living? And that's one of the biggest questions that we're going to consistently go back to. What is living? We know from a biological sense what is living. But as humans, we have come to, especially in the modern society, to associate living with way more than just eating and sleeping, finding shelter, trying to stay healthy, trying to live from hour to hour, day to day. Does that sort of mentality need to change under these circumstances? Do we need to look at what living is differently? Because when things get stripped away at our truest essence, do we understand what value absolutely having all these amenities that we do have in our current state of society? And when they're stripped away and we feel like all we are basically animals, how do we rectify these two very different ideas of living? The animalistic side that we see present throughout the road, where the father and the son are reduced consistently to animal-like behavior. We see them ravaging through food, throwing out rat feces to eat what is left. At one point, in a later section, the father tries to eat some hay to see if there's any nutritional value in it. The level of desperation that we are seeing, mirrored with the threat of violence and looming death, has to make you question, what are our principles? When we talk about human nature and human essence, has modern man changed that and altered that definition to the point where we've gotten too far away from basic instincts, basic survival tactics? Or is it the other way around, where modern man has pushed human existence to a place so far beyond its roots that it's not only not recognizable, but how we define living needs to be changed. Living isn't just merely existing, it's so much more than that, which ties it all the way back to community. Living in isolation, or living in the way the Father and Son are living as they move in these terrible set of circumstances with the terrain getting tougher, the weather not cooperating, and the looming threat of both violence and horrible bands of people looking to just do harm, leads us to ask a lot of questions. Why is good so hard to find when you strip away the aspects of society that we value so much in the modern term, in the modern world? The last thing I want to touch on before we wrap this up, remember the groups of people we see. When we see groups of people, we have not seen any group of people be out helping others. We have the marching people with slaves. Why has society, once it's destroyed, rebuilt itself in that manner, where it is a kill or be killed mentality? It is survival of the fittest. It's all the cliches you want to throw out. But that the idea of slaves, both for work, for food, potentially for sexual purposes, are all present almost immediately on the rebuild. We have the conditions and the snow present, which might ask, hey, maybe people should be banding together to try to rebuild something. But every time we see this, particularly when the boy and the man go into the house with the captives in the basement, and that these four men, and particularly two women, are collecting people as they walk on the road to then eat and kill them, or kill and eat them. Why has society, since it's fallen off in that vanquished world, fallen so much to the point where this is what is being rebuilt in its image as its replacement? We're going to continue this conversation. It's important that we consistently analyze the idea of what it means to live, the role and level of despair, and what it means to truly be good in a world where good is so hard to find.